Amen. Aren't you glad this morning he's alive? We can serve a risen Savior, a living Savior. Brother Jim said this morning, we don't have to be like some folks that are running around and they're worshiping dead people. We're worshiping alive, risen, and living God. Amen. Thankful for that this morning. Turn in your Bibles with us into Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. And as you turn, we just ask you to pray for the church during these times of difficulties, that we would continue to reach out in our services on YouTube, Facebook, and any other way that we can, and our drive-in services when permitted, that we can just honor the Lord with what we do. But we are thankful for this day and just being able to have this time together, especially on Resurrection Sunday, that we can gather here and that we can worship him and know that we're worshiping one who makes a difference and can make a change. And I'm glad for the folks that are sick, knowing that they have one that has power. He has the ability. He has the strength, and he has the wherewithal to meet the needs that they have according to what their needs are. He can meet your need this morning. It doesn't matter, because the grave couldn't hold him. That should be enough to assure you this morning that he can meet your needs, because nothing could keep him down. They thought that when they nailed him to the cross, that was going to be the end of it. But they didn't realize that in 3 days they would find an empty tomb that would prove that he was able to do everything that he said he could do. They mocked him and they scorned him and they ridiculed him, but praise God, he proved that he was who he said he was and could do what he said he could do, and he can still do that this morning for you, no matter what your problem is. In Luke chapter number 24, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with him. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Our Father, we thank you today that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that because you are alive, because you have risen from that borrowed tomb, God, we can have hope and we can have assurance, not only in this world and in this life, Father, but in the things to come, the life beyond the grave, the hope that we have that's greater than the hope that we have here. And God, we just pray today and ask you, Lord, just to stir our hearts for just a few moments through your word and help us, God, to find strength and find help in these few moments, Lord, remembering that the tomb is empty, that you're risen just like you said. And if you can defeat death, if you can defeat hell and the grave, God, we know, God, that you can meet our every need. Now speak to the heart, Lord, here today that has the greatest need. And help them, Lord, to surrender themselves unto thy will. And we ask it today in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Amen. As we read this, the account of the resurrection, can you imagine as they heard those words in verse 6, He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Remember, he said he was going to do it, and he's done it. Remember, there's an empty grave, there's an empty tomb, because he has all power to do all things, and he said he would raise from the grave. They were afraid, and they were troubled, and the things that they were hearing, the things that they were seeing, and the things that they were experiencing was beyond comprehension. This story of the empty tomb, it's a powerful story. Man, what a story we have to tell of our risen Savior, amen, of the one who came and died for us, the one who gave his life for us, but rose again on the third day victorious, that we might have hope and have hope of salvation, have hope beyond this world, have hope beyond the grave, and praise his name, that we can have that hope and we can have it in him, because he was the first fruits of those who would rise from the dead, the first fruits of those who would go by the way of the grave. Some wonder and some say, well, how can all these things be? Let me tell you, it's a perplexing story that we have before us. And the Bible says that they were perplexed as they heard in verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Sometimes you just can't explain everything about why it happened, but this is a very simple one. This is a very easy one. He said he would, and he did. Amen. He said they were going to bury him. He said they were going to crucify him. He said he would die for our sins. He did. He would. And he can. And he could. You know that song the cathedrals used to sing? Can, he could, he would. Yes, he can, he could, he would. And he did. That's what we have right here. That's what has happened on Resurrection Morn, on Resurrection Sunday. They found an empty tomb because he did just exactly what he said he was going to do. It's a perplexing thought. Ooh. That's a $3,500 guitar. Just take it in. Thank you, Brian. Hey, man. Everything about his death and burial perplexes many people that don't understand, many people that don't think about it and haven't read the Word of God and don't know what the Word says, but it's a perplexing story. We know for sure it perplexed those who were there with him. Can you imagine those that had seen him open the blinded eyes, heal the lame bodies, raise the dead from the death that had gripped them, and restore them back into their loved ones? Jairus' daughter, we think about her. We think about the son of the widow of Nain. We don't even know his name, but we know that Jesus touched him. How about old Lazarus? I tell you all this all the time. He was got to be the maddest man in the Bible. He'd been dead 4 days, done been in paradise 4 days, and had to come back. Amen. Praise his name. I'm glad that God uses us for his purpose and his illustrations when necessary. And I'm glad that Lazarus came back from the dead. It didn't matter how long the widow's sons of Nain's son was on his way to be buried the very day that he died. And they brought him back. Jairus' daughter had just died, and he brought him back. But old Lazarus had been gone 4 days. There was no doubting that he was dead. They said, man, we don't need to roll that stone away. We know that he's going to be stinking by now. But Jesus said, roll the stone away. They rolled the stone away. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. When they got to the grave on that first Easter morning, and they found the stone was rolled away. Let me tell you what, it wasn't rolled away to let him out. It was rolled away to let us in to see that he had risen. Like he said, there wasn't no grave that could hold him there. There wasn't no power on earth that could keep him from doing what he said. It's a perplexing story to many. Sometimes they wonder about these things. To many, something about Jesus it just doesn't sound right and sound like it fits the mold of what they think or feel or believe. But let me tell you what, Jesus doesn't fit our mold. We have to fit his. Amen. Jesus doesn't fit our theology. We need to fit his. Amen. He said he was going to raise from the dead. He said, when I lay it down, I'll take it up again. They didn't have to come and revive him. The angels didn't do anything but moved a stone so that we could see that the tomb was empty. Moved a stone so that we could have assurance and so that we can know God plans things, and God's plan of salvation was set in motion. It was set before the foundations of the world. It was set in such a way that we would have no doubt that it was God who orchestrated it all. But let me tell you, when God's plans are filled and God's plans come to fruition, we can rest assured that it's something we can rejoice in. In Romans chapter 11, verses 33 and 36, the Bible says, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Amen. I can't understand how a God, a thrice holy God, a righteous God, a sinless God, could love an old wretched sinner like me and send his son, and plan to send his precious son, send his son, his a sinless son, a descendant son, a son who knew no guile, who knew no deceit, knew nothing of the things of this world like we do, to die for a sinner like me. I don't know how God could do that. I can't understand how God would want to do that, but praise God, he did that for me. He did that for you, so you wouldn't have to go to a place called hell. It's a perplexing thought. It makes you question. That word perplexion, or perplexed, means filled with uncertainty, or puzzled, or filled with great difficulty. Maybe it's hard to understand and it's hard to comprehend that you were in need of a Savior. But friend, you are. It's hard to comprehend that someone would love you enough to die and take your place and pay your debt of sin. But friend, it did. It's hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend that kind of love. Let me tell you what. It's hard to comprehend how one could defeat death, hell, and the grave. But friend, he did, and he did it for you. He did it for me, that we can have assurance that God accepted the sacrifice that was laid down when he gave us life on Calvary's cruel tree. Amen. And we can have hope in him and him alone. It's a perplexing story, and it's a prophetic story. If we look back in the Word of God, we can find out that it's been prophesied. Look in verses 5 to 7. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" I still love that phrase, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Sometimes we come to church and we need to remind ourselves that we don't need to come here looking for dead people. We come here looking for live people. Amen. But dead people spiritually can come here and be made alive. Amen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? You won't go into a dead church and find live people. Alive people are those ones who've been quickened. They've been made alive. They've been reborn and rebirthed into the family of God. It's not about being sprinkled. It's not about being baptized. It's not about being religious. It's not about going to church. It's about being born again. Jesus, he told the religious man Nicodemus twice in his word. In John chapter 3, verse 3 it is, he said, "Ye must be born again." Again in verse number 7, he said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Why? Because it's needful. Why? Because the Bible has said so. And Jesus is among the living. He's not among the dead. His people are among the living. They're not among the dead. We might be in a world full of people that are dying. But praise God, when this old body, when this old tabernacle of clay has to lay itself down, just be assured of this one thing, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to the child of God. And I've done departed here and went to my home on the other side. He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day arise again." Praise God. It's a prophetic story that started in Genesis when God said he would send the seed of a woman to bruise the head of Satan. When Jesus I said it was finished. Satan was done. When Jesus said it was over, Satan's doom had been sealed. When Jesus did what he did at Calvary and laid down his life for you and I, it finished the power that the devil had in man's life, because God had provided a lamb. God had provided a way. God had made a plan. In Psalm 16, it tells us that he wouldn't see corruption. In Psalm 22, it tells us of his suffering and his deliverance. In Isaiah 53, it tells us of the suffering lamb and the one who wouldn't be held by the grave, the one who would live again, the one who would restore his people, the one who would rule and govern over all the world. And friends, he's coming back one day, just like he said. The prophets in the Old Testament foretold of this time and foretold of this day, foretold of this victory. Jesus himself told his disciples on several occasions. And right here in verse number 7, the Bible says he told them what was going to happen. But in the Gospels, as we read, they forgot, and they just couldn't remember. They didn't comprehend. They didn't grasp just what the Lord was saying until it happened, until it came. And friends, I want you to know something. The next prophetic event, the next prophetic entrance of Jesus into this world is going to be as a ruling king. Amen. He's coming to get his church. It's going to be too late then, amen, to believe. It's going to be too late to accept and receive. You got to believe what he said. You got to believe what has been prophesied. Don't be blindsided like the disciples were. Don't let it get you away. There's a lot of skeptics in our world, a lot of people who aren't sure. But praise God, you can be assured of God's word. The Bible says over in Luke 18, in verses 31 and 34, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Praise God. Aren't you glad this morning that he rose? Aren't you glad this morning that he's alive? And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, for they neither knew the things which were spoken. Friends, I want you to know something. He said that he's going away. He told his disciples that he's going away. The angel said he's gone away, but he's coming back again. His word tells us he's gone away, but he's coming back again. Friends, you better grasp that this morning. You can rejoice in that this morning. If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, you've been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can rejoice. He's coming back. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you, but this one thing I know, that friends and loved ones that are left behind are going to go through the most. You think this a little pandemic that we're having right now is something. It's nothing compared to what's about to be unleashed on this world. And it's nothing compared to the fate of those who have rejected the Savior, who have refused to follow his word. There's some people that say, well, I've said a prayer. I'm a child of God. There's some folks that say, well, I want you to know something. I believe in Jesus. The Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. There's some folks that say, well, I'll worry about that when the time comes. The other folks say, well, I'm sure everything's all right in my life, and I'm satisfied with the way things are. I want to read you something this morning, and I want you to think on this thought. When you think about dying, when you think about how certain death is, strong people right now are dying. A young man, I just read on the, before I come to church, a young man down near Brother Don Farmer's church in West Virginia, Logan County, a young man down there, 25 years old, just died from this virus, this coronavirus going around. But let me tell you this. You say, well, I said a prayer. Well, I go to church. Well, I do this, and well, I do that. Here's what God's Word says. And you let this settle in your heart and see if you meet this criteria. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, friend, I'm not saying anything about you. I'm not telling you you're saved or you're not saved. I'm just telling you the Word of God says that if you don't keep His Word, you don't keep His commandments, you're a liar. Amen. You're lying to yourself. You're fooling yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And His prophetic Word says He's coming back for a bride that's chaste, His church, a bride that's holy, His church. And in John chapter number, or 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 3, let me read verses 1 to 3. It says, "And behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And listen at verse number 3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." And you can go on down and read a little further in 1 John there, and it'll help you to gauge your life and to judge your life and to see where your life stands. I'm not telling you you're saved. I can't tell you you're not saved. But I can tell you the Word of God has some indicators on where you stand with God. And I'd rather stand where God wants me to stand than stand where man wants me to stand, to stand where religion wants me to stand, to even stand where I want to stand. Because if I'm standing apart from God, I'm standing in dangerous ground. I'm standing in dangerous territory. Hallelujah. We need to get ourselves back to the Word of God. We need to get ourselves back to the promises. He's coming back. And just like he said he was coming from the grave, he said, "You're going to bury me, but I'm coming back." Amen. He's coming back again. He left and he's been gone for a while now. And just any day, the eastern sky is going to split. The church is going to hear the call to come up hither. Amen. And we're going to go. And in just a wink of an eye after that, it sounds like a long time. There's going to be the time of war. There's going to be the time when Satan is chained and cast into prison for 1,000 years. And the time when he's unleashed again for a little while. But then the Bible tells us there's going to be a great white throne judgment. And those are going to stand before the Lord that have not had their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're going to hear those words saying, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire where the dragon and the false prophet are." And the old devil is going to be there. And there's going to be no partying in hell. There's going to be no partying in that lake of fire. It's just going to be suffering for all of eternity. And friend, that's prophetic. That's the Word of God. And that's the truth. And you can stand on it. Just as sure as we come this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, how we can be assured this morning that there's going to be a time coming when folks are going to be cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be a time coming this morning where folks are going to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." Amen. And we're going to spend an eternity with him. We're going to spend eternity in one of two places, with him or without him. And praise God, there's going to be no changing. There's going to be no difference. Once it happens, once it's done, it's done. Once your fate is sealed, it's sealed. And praise God, now is the time to believe his words, to believe the prophetic scriptures that is spoken. The resurrection of Jesus was prophetic, and everything that is going to happen since the resurrection of Jesus is prophetic, and we can rest assured that it's going to happen. And look, next in verses 8 to 12, we see not only is it a perplexing story, and not only is it a prophetic story, but it's a persuasive story. In verses 8 to 12, the first part of the Bible says, "And they remembered his words." Amen. I hope you remember everything that you hear me preach this morning. I hope you remember everything that every man of God has ever spoken unto you. Every time you've read a gospel tract, every time you've heard a gospel song, any time that you've heard about the Lord, I hope you remember every word of it. "And returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest." It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women which were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Don't worry about whether they believe you. Pretty soon, one day, it's going to strike home, either on this side or the other side. The reality of it's going to hit home. And the Bible says in the first part of verse 12, then Peter arose and ran unto the sepulcher. You know, maybe he was doubtful. Maybe he was like the rest of them. I don't know. There were skeptics in the crowd that didn't believe. Their words seemed like idle tales. But yet, their words carried great power. Many today mock us. They make fun of us. And they ridicule us. And they say all kinds of things about us. We're just weak-minded. And we just need something to lean on. I'm glad I got something to lean on. Amen. I don't have something. I have someone. Amen. And I can call on Him. And I know He hears my prayers. I know He meets my needs. I know He's there for whatever I'm going through. He said He would never leave nor forsake me. Amen. And I can rest in those promises. But praise His name today. There are people who don't believe that. People who won't accept that. And I feel sorry for them. They don't know what a treasure. They don't know what a blessing. They don't know what a joy. They're missing out on trust in Jesus. Amen. And I pray today that you'll trust Him. I pray today that you can be persuaded to surrender your life, not just trust Him as your Savior, but to surrender your whole being unto Him. A lot of people, they only want just enough of Him to keep them out of hell, and then they go through life miserable and wondering why they don't have the joy of the gospel, the joy of salvation in their life. That joy is dependent upon you being persuaded to do all that the Word of God says, to surrender yourself wholly unto thus saith the Word of God. There are many today that fight against Him. Many today that will preach against Him and testify against Him. Many Christians today are being persecuted because they want to trust Him, and they're told that there is no God to trust. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul was having trouble believing that the Galatian church had done went back. Other people would come in. He said, if anybody else, whether it's a man or an angel, preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Amen. There is no other gospel. There is no other truth. There is no other story but the story of Jesus born as a baby, born as an innocent child, crucified as the Lamb of God, risen as victorious over death, hell, and the grave. There is nothing else that can help you. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should be not the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. I want you to know something. This story of the risen Savior isn't some man-made story. It's the story of Jesus Christ. It's the story of the Lamb of God. It's the story of God's deliverance. It's the story of God's hope. It's the story for God's plan for each and every one of us. God made man in His own likeness, in His own image. God made man for His own fellowship, His own joy, and His own purpose. And God wants man to have that relationship with Him. And anything that's going to hinder that relationship, God wants to do away with and nullify and make it possible that we might have that joy of salvation in our hearts and lives again. Aren't you thankful that the gospel can persuade the most wicked of men? There's no story in all the world that can do what the story of Jesus can do. There's no story in all the world that holds the hope out that the hope of the Bible holds out. There's no story in all the world that can move people from a false religion unto the true gospel. There's no story in all the world that can do what the gospel of Christ has done, and we hold it high and we preach it true. We don't try to water it down. We don't try to cover it up and make it pretty. It's a bloody gospel for our sinful people. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But praise God, because the blood was shed and the blood was accepted, we can raise from the dead. We can raise in hope from the grave in Christ Jesus because of the resurrection that He's given unto us. And not only is it a perplexing story, a prophetic story, and a persuasive story, it's a powerful story. Amen. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. Let me tell you something. The story has transformed lives. This story has made a difference in people when everyone thought there was no hope. This story has made changes in people who once stood fiercely against it. The Apostle Paul was changed by the risen Savior. Amen. The disciples left everything they had to follow Jesus. And when they thought all hope was gone, found out that there was hope in Jesus. The apostles laid down their lives. They died for the one who rose from the grave. They died for the one who held great power. It has power to change lives. It has power to change you today. It has power to transform you from what you are into what you ought to be. It has the power to take away addiction. It has the power to take away lust. It has the power to take away anything that would keep you from doing what God wants you to do. You just got to surrender and submit yourself unto that power. It's perplexing to think about. Is there any help? Is there any hope for me? Yes, there's hope in Jesus. Amen. How do you know? Because the Word says so. It's been prophesied. It's been proven. It's been given unto us so we can have hope. We can know that we know that we know. Amen. It's persuasive. It's a dealing with your heart. Jesus is using that Word this morning to speak to hearts and lives right here in this parking lot, right on the internet as folks are listening. He wants to make a change, and He wants to do what only He can do in your life. So are you willing to let Him unleash that power in your life this morning and have His will in your way? We're going to have a song of invitation, Brother Jim, and the folks are going to be singing a song of invitation. Go ahead, Brother Jim, and start singing. I'm going to keep talking and stuff while you're singing. But as the invitation is given this morning, as they're singing, right there where you are, would you be willing to bow your head and say, Lord, I know that You died for me. I know that You gave Your life on Calvary for me. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You've never been born again according to the Word of God. You've trusted religion. You've trusted people. You've trusted your own theology. You've trusted everything. But this morning, you realize that apart from inviting Jesus into your heart, there is no hope of salvation. Babies don't get saved. They can't get saved because the Bible says to be saved, we must believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. I went through life for many years thinking everything was all right. But one day I realized I was on my way to hell because the truth of the gospel had been preached. And I realized it had the power to change my life. If I would just surrender and submit myself unto the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Right there in your car, right there in your living room or wherever you might be listening to us on the internet, you can bow your head and you can invite Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. You can ask Him to save your soul. And you know what? He will save you. Amen. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, maybe, could be, said it shall be saved. You can have that hope this morning. Christian, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe something's got a hold on your life that you wish you could get rid of. Maybe you're not as close to the Lord and things are hindering you from walking where you need to walk with the Lord this morning. There's obstacles that the devil has placed in your way. The Lord says He's made a way of escape for every temptation that the devil has brought your way. You just got to be willing to trust the Lord. He has the power to deliver you. He has the power to bring you through if you're willing to trust Him this morning. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? Because there is an empty tomb. There is a living Savior that's risen and wants to work in your heart and wants to work in your life and wants you to do that that only He can do for you. Only He has the power to do. Will you surrender yourself today and let Him have His way? How about it? Water singing. Water singing. All right. Thank you all for being with us today. We hope the Lord has blessed your heart today. Is the church out there again? All right. We got the church out for offering. If you want to leave an offering, folks are asking about that this morning. You can just stop by the church and put your offering in, your tithes and your offering if you'd like. And we invite you to follow us on Facebook or on YouTube. We can't broadcast out here on YouTube until we get 1,000 subscribers, and we're way far away from that, but we can still